Blog Talk Radio.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory's won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory's won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory's won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory's won, some would be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the
I would move on by Greece and take my mind Mount Olympus. And I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes assemble around the Parthenon. And I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. I would go on even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire. And I would see developments around there through various emperors and leaders, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance and get a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man for whom I named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he packed his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come on up even to 1863 and watch a vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation and come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself, but I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up, and wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free. And another reason that I'm happy to live in this period is that we have been forced to a point where we're going to have to grapple with the problems that men have been trying to grapple with through history, but the demands didn't force them to do it. Survival demands that we grapple with them. Men for years now have been talking about war and peace, but now no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world is nonviolence or non-existent. That that is where we are today. Also in the human rights revolution, is something getting done and done in a hurry to bring the colored peoples of the world out of their long years of poverty, their long years of hurt and neglect. The whole world is doomed. Allow me to live in this period to see what is unfolding. And I'm happy that he's allowed me to be in Memphis. I can remember when Negroes were just going around, as Ralph has said, so often scratching where they didn't itch and laughing when they were not tickled. But that day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protests and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying, that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in...
Dr. King was talking about what happened. This is the Dr. King movement tonight. Two points he brought out, that blacks have to stay together and we got to stop fighting and killing each other. And the violence that took place this weekend is unheard of, black on black. If you name the city, Detroit, Chicago, California, Arkansas, Mississippi, Minnesota, on black crime, Dr. King said in his speech that we have to stay together. And the best thing that Pharaoh did, kept the slaves fighting among themselves. Innocent women and children being killed. Call it drive-by, whatever you call it, is evil at the most top way. I was talking to Mary Hawkins and some of the Hawkins sisters, and they reminded us that we was outdoors. Our ancestors were outdoors and had nowhere to stay, nowhere to sleep. But we still made it tonight, and I want to ask, and I want to share it with you tonight. I want to know, what is your comment? What do you feel? I got Sister Lisa supposed to be coming on from Atlanta. I got Sister Walter from California. I hope I can get Dr. Gibson on where she can speak on what we're talking about tonight, the subject tonight. And it's very important for you to be able to see what I'm talking about, Jerry, and where we go from here. Dr. King just said in his speech that we have to stay together, body, mind, soul, and spirit. If our mind ain't together, our bodies ain't together, our spirit ain't together, in for disaster. And since Dr. King has been gone, nobody has picked up the mountain and said, let's make things change. I don't know why. I was looking at where we marched in Marquette Park, and we marched in Cicero, and we marched in Selma, and marched on the Pitt Bridge, marched in Mississippi, in Canton. Blacks were together when they marched in Natchez, Mississippi, marched in Birmingham. Dr. King said in his speech, we must stay together. We must analyze what's going on with us today. And somebody got to come up with a solution to solve this problem. The killing of the babies, the killing of innocent seniors, and just plain shooting and killing. One of the things that brought that out was because the guns, the dope, the drugs have been in our community so long that we think it's normal for somebody to get shot. We think it's normal for you not to have any food to eat. And now they think it's normal to take a car with no gas. We are situation now where the slave master have programmed you to hate yourself, hate your other brother, or hate your other sister. We in a situation now where your kids might not survive grammar school because so many guns is out in the street. So many people uneducated got guns. Where do these guns come from? They are made at gun factories. Why, and I'm going to say this, Congress is the cause. The Republican Democrat is the cause of so many guns out in the community. The mass murder, week after week, day after day. You pick up the paper, somebody killed somebody, somebody shot somebody. It's happening over and over and over again. You might think, Jerry, that it's something going on to say, this is how they get rid of it. So give them some guns, they shoot their mama, they shoot their sister, their brother, their other self. So this is going on tonight. I was looking for Mary Hawkins to come on, I don't know what happened to her. But we got one of the Hawkins families anyway, the same for us. And we're going to hear from her, then we're going to come back. I'm The Hawkins sisters, the Hawkins family. That was the Hawkins sisters. Mary Hawkins, read the 23rd number song for her, tonight. I'm trying to get Mary Hawkins to read the 23rd number psalm. Phone's open, Mary. Get you guys together tonight. You're going back to the Hawkins sister. I was trying to get Mary Hawkins to read the 23rd number psalm. I don't know what happened to her phone. Here I go, right here.
South, I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome deep in my heart.
God bless you tonight. That was the Hawking sisters. I tried to get Mary Hawking. I don't know what happened to her. But I want to say to you tonight, we're asking a question. Kids are going back to school, and they just passed a bill in Illinois that the banned assault weapons, that's the machine guns that's in these streets. They banned them over in some part of Illinois. But what I'm saying tonight, and I talked to Jerry about it, I just feel that homeschooling your kids, Lisa was going to come on, I don't know what happened to her, to talk about homeschooling your kids. And is you going to homeschool your kids, or what's happening with homeschooling your kids? There's lots of people not sending their kids to school based on the shooting that's been going on throughout America. Sandy Hook, what happened in Texas, and what happened in the grocery store, what happened in these malls. I feel that it's unsafe, children to go to school without any protection. They need mellow protectors in these schools, because you got kids 12 and 13 got access to guns, and they will come in and shoot teachers and all of that. So my the night, like Dr. King said, it's time for us to come together. It's time for us to be able to open the door. It's time for us to be able to do some things to open up the door where we might be able to do what we need to do and be able to turn things around. And we shall overcome. And I'm going to play that one more time because people need to know that.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow.
King was saying that we will overcome what's happening to us in 2022. The problem that's happening to us now, that we have to overcome the negativity that's going on in our community, the shooting, the robbery, the snap and grab, and all of that. It's a sick society. And we have to deal with the drama of all the evil that's going on right now that's happening to us as black women and men and our children. You know, one of the things that Dr. King said is so true, that one thing that if you keep people divided, they will never come together. We need to be asked for reparation. How can you ask for reparation and people killing each other and shooting, and the man who put so many guns out here, you know, buy back guns, all right, but everybody ain't gonna buy back no guns. They sell their gun and get it right back. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. Buy back, save guns, buy back, and all that. So one of my things is, tonight, as we talk about that children, that you should send your children to school, and what you think about sending your children to school. Should you home kids your school to the Board of Education in Ohio? The boy got a gun, went in to kill some people. Sandy Hook, the boy killed his mama, then killed people at school. Down in Texas, the man shot and went and killed some people. And police didn't go in to kill him. So what happened in Highland, Illinois? The man got on the roof with a assault weapon. Assault weapons need to be banned. They shouldn't be making them. Those guns are used for war in the army. But long as Congress, Republicans can make money, and the Rifle Association is caused up to the blood of all those innocent people is on the hand of Washington, D.C., will not make a decision that we're not going to sell no soft gun, we ain't going to make no more, and they can't be sold in the communities in America. Okay? Because their guns were made for war. One bullet can tear your arm off. One bullet can make a hole in your head big as a cup. So those guns is not for street, no way. Those guns for killing. And that's what happened. A lot of young folks, young white folks, young white kids buying guns. Their daddy buying it for them. It's okay. And blacks got the handgun. They shooting their mamas, their daddies, their brothers. Passing by. So we're in a situation of murders is among us. We're in a situation where people are scared to send their kids to school because they don't know will they make it back or not. So that's serious. That was a Hawkins sister from Detroit that was singing. I finally got Mary on the line. Now let me see. Mary Hawkins, I want to ask you a question. Mary Hawkins, what do you think about homeschooling? You think school should be homeschooling, or you think you keep the kids at home until they get it right? What do you think?
Yes, I would keep my child at home because this stuff is bad out here. Now they got the monkey parks out. I wouldn't even let my child go to school, Bishop. I wouldn't.
So you feel that children need to be homeschooled to deal with monkeypox and deal with the violence in school? The school board is not addressing what's going on in these schools. They should have a lockdown. Can't nobody come into school that they know. The parents come to the front door. It needs to be closed. What? The kids that come in school, they got guns. So we need some way so we can protect the children that come in the school where we can have you know what they have when you go to court? They have those machines where you go in court, they take all of the metal objects. And it's getting to the point now 12 and 13-year-old kids bringing guns in their pack. So that's really what's going on. They need to be, it needs to open up why they can be able to have somebody, we need an officer at the school to make sure that don't nobody bring their guns in their backpack and all that. It's that dangerous for your kids to be going to school today in 2020. And a buyback, gun buyback, they sell a gun for $10, they go buy another for $20. So it's just a cycle. They get killed on the basketball court, killed in church, festival, they being killed. Drive-by, sitting on the porch. So how to stop that is that we must come to the realization that we must take this and deal with our government that makes the laws is not saying nothing about the killings that's going on in the neighborhood and in these communities. Not only Chicago, Detroit, California, all over. Weekend time, Jerry, you have more people get killed in America than get killed out on the battlefield in war. And America is the most violent country there is. More killing go on in America than anywhere in the country. That's the violence that go on. So it's more go on anywhere than this in. So it's more violence go on anywhere than in America. And Dr. King said it, and the politics of this violence is based on money. It's based on people dealing with finance. The gun company making money, the politicians making money, and black and white people are dying. Okay? Now, Russia is fighting premier, those two white folks fighting. So what I'm saying tonight, that you shouldn't send your kids to school, but you got a guarantee from the Board of Education that they're going to have some kind of safety put in place where your kids can be safe. You send your kids to school, and so many sent the kids to school, they didn't see them no more. And that's the dangerous part of that. So my thing, Sister Hawkins, that you shouldn't send your child to school without the Board of Education and told you what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and what they got in place. Now it's in school what we started in college. Same type of situation taking place. So it's important for us to understand where we at and what we're doing. This is Dr. King talking about the politics.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power. Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
learn another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Wait, do we want out of it for a moment?
There's so much going on. There's so much happening. You have to stay focused on what's going on in our community tonight in the Dr. King movement and what we're talking about. We're talking about a breakthrough. And that's what's going on now with us, what's happening. And that's what's going on now with us. So we have to deal with what the door being open and the things that what's going on.
Hey, what's happening,
brother?
What's
up? This is a
stupid
party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light. It's sad. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
directions to go in. And if somebody tries to take you right to the root of your problem, they say that that man's a hate. If I ask why should the senators in Washington, and then again, if we tell you that Negroes are being hung on the street or being shot down illegally, unjustly, and those Negroes should do something to protect themselves, you say you're advocating violence. The white man is tricking you. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in South Vietnam. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in Berlin. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, he didn't say get nonviolent. He said, praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. When someone attacks you, when someone comes at you with a club, when someone comes at you with a rope, when someone comes at you with a gun, despite the fact that you've done nothing, he tells you, suffer peacefully. Despite you. Be long suffering. And how long can you suffer after suffering for 400 years? Well, I just want to play off that little point right there. Because he says that we play on your emotions. And when you turn on your television tonight, or your radio, or read the newspaper, they're going to tell you in that paper that I was playing on your emotions. Imagine you, a second-class citizen. That's not getting emotional, it's getting intelligent. And as far as your mayor is concerned, I see should say their mayor. A man named George, who has been slandering the Muslims, a professional liar, a professional liar. Who has mastered the art of using half truth? Put it in the paper that they broke into our religious place of worship and got records that they can use to prove that most of us have criminal records. You can't be a Negro in America and not have a criminal record. Martin Luther King has been to jail. James Farmer has been to jail. Why, you can't name a black man in this country who is sick and tired of the hell that he's catching who hasn't been to jail. Charged him with being sedition. They put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. Why, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible that wasn't put to jail when they started speaking out against exploitation and oppression.